2 Chronicles, chapter 20. It happened after this that the children of Moab and Ammon and some of the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then some came who told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. They're already in Hazazon Tamar." Jehoshaphat was alarmed and set himself to seek to Yahweh. He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Well, that's exactly how it should have been. Instead of running around to think, oh, how many soldiers have I got? Oh, maybe I could pay some money and hire some others to come. The first thing he does is to turn to God. And that's how we should be. When a crisis comes up, it's very easy to think, how can I get out of this? And when all our efforts to get out of it haven't worked, we then think, I suppose I could pray to God. No, God must be always in our thoughts and the first thing in our hearts. So Judah gathered themselves together to seek help from Yahweh. They came out of all the cities of Judah. Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of Yahweh, and he said, "Yahweh, God of our fathers, aren't you God in heaven? Aren't you ruler over the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so that no one is able to stand against you. Didn't you, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the seed of Abraham, your friend, forever?" So when we have a crisis, it's good to just think, wow, God is all powerful. To think like David does when he's in those crises, wow, God made the stars. God made all things. And to think of what God has done in history. To think of what God did, for example, at the Red Sea, that God has saved his people. God can do anything. There we are with our crisis. God can do anything. We need to just remember that. And the Bible is full, really, of examples of that. And he says here that God gave Israel to the seed of Abraham, your friend. So Abraham was the friend of God. This is again a wonderful idea, that the God who is so far away from us could have a friend on earth. It's even more wonderful than, let's say, a man having a friend who's an ant. God has friends. We are his friends, and Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." This is an amazing idea, that we can be that close to God. So he goes on, talking to God, "If evil come on us, the sword, judgment, plague, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you and cry to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Now consider the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned aside from them and didn't destroy them. See how they reward us to come to cast us out of your possession, which you've given us to inherit. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are toward you." I'm sure they had a little bit of strength. They must have had some sort of army. And instead of saying, "Well, guys, let's be strong and do the best we can and fight with all our strength and all our wit and intelligence to defeat this big army," Jehoshaphat says to God, "We have no strength at all. We have no might, but our eyes are toward you," and that's how we should think. All Judah stood before Yahweh with their little ones, their wives, and their children. So their children also prayed to God. Bear that in mind, that time and again you see in the Bible record that children are responsible to God, they can pray to God, they can please God. Then the Spirit of Yahweh came on Jahaziel. And he said, "Listen, all Judah, Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says Yahweh, don't be afraid, neither be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they're coming up by the ascent of Ziz. You shall find them at the end of the valley, before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of Yahweh with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Don't be afraid, nor be dismayed. Go out against them, for Yahweh is with you." So this is typical of how God likes to work, to show us that each of our conflicts and crises, the battle is not yours, but God's. It's a wonderfully comforting idea. And that You win the battles without fighting. So often this comes true in life. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and Jerusalem fell down before Yahweh, worshipping Yahweh. Well, they only did that because they believed. Because if they just thought, that's what some prophet said, they wouldn't have fallen down and worshipped, would they? But they did. They rejoiced because they were sure God's word would come true. The Levites stood up to praise Yahweh, God of Israel, with a very loud voice. They rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in Yahweh your God, so you shall be established. Believe his prophets, so you shall prosper." So they go out, this tiny little army of the men of Judah, against this huge army that's come against them. And Jehoshaphat, all he can say is, "Believe, everybody. Guys, believe what the prophet said. Believe the word of God. Believe, believe, it's going to come true. We're going to win without fighting." Do you think they all believed? I'm sure they didn't. And I'm sure a lot of them thought, these are just words of this prophet. I wonder. There they were. Just imagine them coming out of the gates of Jerusalem, this very small group of probably rather nervous men. Just, is this really going to work? And there's this massive army that they're facing. And they began to sing and to praise God. They said, "Give thanks to Yahweh, for his grace endures forever." They were singing as if they'd already won. When they began to sing and to praise, Yahweh set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were struck, because the children of Ammon and Moab started to fight against the people from Mount Seir, who were on their side in their army. They were from different nationalities. And when they'd made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, then each one helped to destroy another. Then Ammon and Moab started fighting each other. When Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked at the multitude, which were now dead bodies fallen to the earth. Not one escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among the dead bodies precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves. They were 3 days taking the spoil, it was so much. On the fourth day, they gathered together in the valley of Berakah, and there they praised Yahweh. Then they returned, with Jehoshaphat leading them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for Yahweh had made them to rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem praising Yahweh, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard how Yahweh had fought the enemies of Israel. So what a wonderful example of how faith was turned to sight. Faith in God's word always pays off, but ultimately, of course, our faith in his word is that we will meet Jesus, that Jesus really will come back, we will be resurrected, we will be judged, and by his grace we really will be saved. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah. He did what was right in the eyes of Yahweh, although the high places were not taken away, neither as yet had the people set their hearts to the God of their fathers. After this, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, joined himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel. Again, he makes the same mistake that he'd made joining with Ahab, king of Israel. Now Ahab's dead, and he joins with Ahaziah, who did very wickedly. He joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made the ships in Ezion-Geba. But Eleazar, one of the prophets, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, "Because you've joined yourself with Ahaziah, Yahweh has destroyed your works, and the ships were broken, and they weren't able to go to Tarshish." So the conclusion is that there's a man who was imperfect, who kept making the same mistake, and yet God had mercy on him, and in the end accepted him overall. Doesn't mean that it's okay to sin, but what it means is that God looks at your overall position of your heart. And his particular weakness was his continued friendship with the wicked kings of Israel. And the big message there is, watch your friends, even amongst those who are members of the people of God. Be careful who you mix with, because the company you keep influences you. Mm-hmm.